People in America, the average American, thought that it had killed 9% of the population, which would equate to 30 million people. That was in summer last year, proving once again mass formation psychosis, which, of course, the fact checkers have said is now a conspiracy theory, just like they said the Wuhan lab leak was a conspiracy theory. You can trust them. But the CDC is now acknowledging the overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%. Other barometers of this, by the way, say it's over 95%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who are unwell to begin with. Now we're allowed to talk about it because this CDC individual's talking about it, even though we knew about it 18 months ago. But this has led to some panic. Daily Skeptic reports coronavirus is nowhere near endemic, says WHO. World Health Organization has warned people not to think that it might be about to end. Don't, quote, rely on external forces being placed in order to maintain that stability. So the WHO, with all the power, prestige and control that it's enjoyed as a result of this pandemic, seemingly doesn't want it to end. Guess who else doesn't want it to end? It's the media. Video: CNN panics over more people beginning to ignore COVID fear propaganda. Again, could it be coming to an end? Could life be going back to normal? No, please don't say that. Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy expressed disbelief and horror that more Americans are beginning to live with their lives normally again. How dare they? After 2 years of media-driven pandemic, panic and fear.
Three very important life-saving words: vitamins, minerals, amino acids. And you find them all in Vitamin Mineral Fusion. All the essential vitamins, all the essential minerals from really good, high-quality, absorbable sources, and a bunch of key compounds, amino acids, known to help get the nutrients into your tissues, into your cells. And despite the fact that the product is going to sell out in the next week or so, we are going to keep it on sale at 50% off for another 7 days. So again, I am cutting this announcement on the afternoon of January 6, 2022. We're going to run this for a week, and then we are going to be selling out of this product. Hopefully more comes in the next month or so, because it's a bestseller and it's something everybody needs for their immune system and their body. Get your Vitamin Mineral Fusion now and support the InfoWar 360 win at InfoWarsStore.com.
We are going to talk about the big outrage, the big scandal currently unfolding in the United Kingdom, which again is complete hot air, complete misdirection, complete nonsense. News of yet another garden party piss up at 10 Downing Street involving potentially the Prime Minister, at least 100 of his staff, violating lockdown rules during the first lockdown when everyone else was told they couldn't see their parents, when they couldn't go out. Another one of those instances has been revealed. Everyone's up in arms about it. The same media that's dehumanized, discriminated against, monstered unvaccinated people, which should be the real outrage, is telling them to be outraged over this Downing Street party that took place nearly 2 years ago. Our impulses once again are being redirected. I'm going to get onto that though in the second segment, because first I want to talk about this. Basically, a lot of indications suggest that the pandemic is finally coming to an end and that it is becoming endemic, but they don't really want you to talk about that. The technocrats are loath to relinquish their grasp on this smorgasbord of tyranny, power, and control that they've enacted, that they've exploited as a result of this pandemic. Yet the facts are the facts. Daily Mail headline: COVID is now killing half as many people per day as a bad flu year. No, don't say that. As experts say, pandemic will be on the brink of becoming endemic after Omicron wave subsides. Daily COVID deaths, again, this is in the UK, are currently running at less than half the expected rate in a bad flu year. Oh, what? So now it's really just the flu, bro? Mail Online analysis suggests, as experts claim UK is finally on the brink of beating the pandemic, there are growing calls for number 10 to learn to live with COVID. No, don't say that. We need to be like New Zealand and Australia, where they find a bunch of like three outbreaks and panic and lock down entire cities of 500,000 people. Right now, just 130 people dying from coronavirus every day in England. what is believed to be the peak of the Omicron outbreak compared to 1,300 last January. Bear in mind the esteemed government experts of SAGE who have been relied upon and trusted before every single lockdown in the United Kingdom, their much trusted advice that has turned out to be spectacularly wrong and inaccurate on every single occasion. Before this Omicron wave, as little as a month ago, they were saying there'd be 3,000 to 5,000 deaths from Omicron, which has basically turned out to be a cold in the UK every single day. Right now, on average, it's 130 a week or a day, sorry, on average. They said it'd be 3,000 to 5,000. Not just a little bit wrong, quite a long ways wrong. And yet these people are still in positions of power. Daily deaths have barely moved since the start of autumn, despite infection rates more than quadrupling over the same time. Obviously, this is Omicron. It's much weaker. It's becoming endemic. And they compare it to a bad flu season, which we had in 2017-18, where there were more than 400 influenza deaths per day. Yes, flu does still exist. Remember when they told us a year ago that flu had ceased to exist? Well, apparently it's back. And it's even worse than Omicron. So we had 400 influenza deaths per day during the bad flu season in 17-18. We've now got fewer than half of people dying. Omicron is making the coronavirus become endemic. Telegraph reports, time to live with COVID and treat virus like the common cold, says welcome. This is Britain's biggest independent funder of medical research, which says the restrictions can no longer be medically or economically justified. We've still got these restrictions in place. We've still got vaccine passports for some venues. We've still got mask mandates in schools that are literally stunting kids' cognitive development. All still in place. And yet Britain's biggest independent funder of medical research has called for coronavirus to be, quote, treated like the common cold. I mean, this is some dangerous anti-vaxxer style medical misinformation if ever I heard it. From the biggest funder of medical research in Britain. How dare they? Welcome, whose director, Sir Jeremy Farrar, quit the government SAGE committee last autumn, will invest the cash over the next decade to help combat new COVID variants. I'm sure they've got plenty of those lined up. But he said, I don't think it can mean going back into regular lockdowns because it's just not economically viable. We don't do that for the flu. We don't do that for the common cold. Yeah, this is what we were saying 18 months ago, and finally now it's in the mainstream media. This headline from Summit.News, CDC admits over 75% of COVID deaths were people who had at least four comorbidities. What? Oh my God. Nobody was talking about this 18 months ago. Oh yeah, everyone was. But now the CDC admits it, so now we're allowed to talk about it. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky acknowledged that over 75% of COVID deaths were people who had at least four comorbidities and were unwell to begin with. You mean COVID predominantly just kills old people who are already ill? No. We knew that from the start. And yet we had these polls. And I think I mentioned it in this article right at the end. They conducted a poll, this polling firm, Keck CNC, at the end of summer 2020. When the actual number of people in the United States who had died from coronavirus was less than 155,000 at that time, summer 2020, this polling firm found that on average, people in America, the average American, thought that it had killed 9% of the population, which would equate to 30 million people. That was in summer last year, proving once again mass formation psychosis, which of course the fact checkers have said is now a conspiracy theory, just like they said the Wuhan lab leak was a conspiracy theory. You can trust them. But the CDC is now acknowledging the overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%. Other barometers of this, by the way, say it's over 95%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who are unwell to begin with. Now we're allowed to talk about it because this CDC individual's talking about it, even though we knew about it 18 months ago. But this has led to some panic. Daily Skeptic reports coronavirus is nowhere near endemic, says WHO. World Health Organization has warned people not to think that it might be about to end. Don't, quote, rely on external forces being placed in order to maintain that stability. So the WHO, with all the power, prestige, and control that it's enjoyed as a result of this pandemic, seemingly doesn't want it to end. Guess who else doesn't want it to end? It's the media. Video, CNN panics over more people beginning to ignore COVID fear propaganda again. Could it be coming to an end? Could life be going back to normal? No, please don't say that. Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy expressed disbelief and horror that more Americans are beginning to live with their lives normally again. How dare they? After 2 years of media-driven pandemic panic and fear, Stelter asked the question, is the media out of touch with the public about COVID? Yeah, the media is out of touch with the public about everything, you fool. Darcy added, I think this is an issue because if people are tuning out what's going on in cable news, again, the horror, people tuning out of CNN to get some news on the pandemic that's actually fair and balanced, how dare they? The general population, you know, they're just, you know, ignoring everything and living their lives. What? They're not sat in their bedrooms, cowering in the corner, watching CNN, afraid to go out while wearing 10 face masks. How dare they? And we're really not getting the information that they need to them. So these are the beginnings of the signs that not only is the pandemic coming to an end with Omicron, nature's vaccine, but the media, for them, the pandemic is not coming to an end. They refuse to let go because of massive increases in ratings, massive increases in corporate advertising and sponsorship, and of course, massive increases in power when it comes to trying to determine the narrative, shut down dissenters, censor, ban, deplatform their competition via the forum of social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc. So the science kind of suggests that it's coming to an end, but the WHO, the technocrats, and the media, the likes of CNN, are loath to let that reality take hold. We'll be back on the other side. Summit.news. Don't go away. Now, the big scandal in the UK as of right now is yet more revelations of Downing Street insiders, government bureaucrats, hosting private garden parties at which 100 people were invited, dozens at least attended, back in May 2020 during the first lockdown when people couldn't see their parents, people couldn't see their elderly relatives, their loved ones. Impositions on their liberty across the board, of course. They could, at one point, we were told we couldn't sit on a park bench with another person. Meanwhile, throughout that entire time, the government were having private piss-ups in the garden at 10 Downing Street with absolute wanton abandon. Now, is that shocking? Is that an outrage? Yes. Is it a surprise? No. But again, this is about the media redirecting our impulses to tell us what to be outraged about when there are two dozen other things that are more important. Let's go to the video now. This is the Downing Street piss-up. Here is the clip. I'll come back after and talk about it, but here it is. Calls are growing for Boris Johnson to quit after it was revealed that Downing Street hosted a bring-your-own-booze party in May 2020 when the rest of the population was under lockdown. At a time when Brits were ordered to avoid their own family members, 100 government staffers were invited by email to attend the rule-breaking bash. Now, obviously, people have every right to be outraged over this. But where have you been for the past 18 months? Why are you angrier over a garden party piss-up than the utter devastation lockdown and corona restrictions have had on our society? Because the media says this is what you're allowed to be outraged about? The same normies up in arms about this dutifully clapped the NHS for months on end, even while hundreds of thousands of people were being denied critical cancer screenings and other treatment. There was still plenty of time for those TikTok dance routines, though. Many of those people who were denied treatment subsequently died or are now dying. Where was the outrage then? These same people slavishly supported school closures, social distancing and mask mandates that literally left children cognitively stunted. They cheered for communist-style lockdown measures that resulted in soaring mental health problems, alcoholism, an atomization. Where was the outrage then? You all bowed, genuflected, and complied, while livelihoods were being ruined as small businesses, pubs, restaurants all went bust. You said nothing. You went along with it as families were torn apart at Christmas. That's what you should have been outraged about, but for the past 2 years, You vehemently lobbied for all of that. Now you're mad because some bureaucrats got drunk at a garden party. Give me a break. We tried to warn you from the beginning when it became clear that those making the rules weren't following them. Professor Niall Ferguson, whose notoriously inaccurate modelling was the foundation for the first lockdown, spent much of the first lockdown travelling back and forth across London to shag his married mistress in complete violation of it. He didn't take it seriously, and he was the one claiming that 500,000 people would die without lockdown. This was revealed in the same month that this garden party took place, May 2020. Where was the outrage then? That's when we were making the point over and over again. If this virus was so dire, so deadly, that it required the unprecedented action of placing millions of healthy people under de facto house arrest, why were the very same people making those claims and then making the laws to enforce it so blasé about not following the rules themselves? We made that point until we were blue in the face. And where was the outrage then? No one listened. They all just kept feverishly demanding the very same people impose more restrictions on them. Lock me down harder, Daddy! In fact, the people most peeved about Boris and friends violating lockdown only want him gone so they can vote in another government that would have locked us down to an even harsher degree. Where's the outrage over vax passports? They're infinitely more odious and more dangerous than Boris and pals having a naughty knees. Yeah, he introduced them with barely a whimper of dissent. Where's the outrage over unvaccinated women in Scotland being denied IVF treatment? Literally banned from breeding over a medical choice. Where's the outrage over the unjabbed being vilified, brazenly discriminated against and openly dehumanized as some kind of animal underclass? A demonization campaign spearheaded by the same media that tells us to be outraged about this instead. There are 24 different things to be more outraged about, things that actually matter. Yeah, as per usual, our impulses are being redirected by mass social engineering. And the normies fall for it every single time. So again, the media in the United Kingdom has absolutely no right to claim the moral high ground on anything, has absolutely no credibility when it comes to deciding or nudging what people should be outraged, defended over, when they've overseen the biggest cover-up of the major issues relating to coronavirus. Number one, the lab leak, which they colluded with social media to claim was a conspiracy in the early days. And then the complete vilification, demonization of people who choose not to take the vaccine, which is far more of an outrage by a factor of 10,000 than some government bureaucrats having a lockdown violating garden party. I'm sorry, but it just is. I mentioned it briefly there as well. Lockdown, which the media lobbied for vehemently, which the journalists asked no harsh questions of government bureaucrats at every single press conference for the past 18 plus months. Lockdown is a creation of the media. That's why you saw all those polls with huge numbers of people supporting it, at least for the first year, because they were completely brainwashed and socially engineered by the media to do so. They have zero credibility. People should be outraged about the devastating impacts of lockdown. For example, 740,000 urgent cancer care referrals in the UK missed because of lockdown. And as the cancer expert Richard Sullivan, Professor Richard Sullivan said, the missed health screenings because of cancer and all these other horrible illnesses are going to cause, over the next 5 years, more deaths than deaths from coronavirus itself. That is a way bigger issue. That's a real issue, a real matter that people should really be outraged about. But because the media redirects their attention in unison, it's a side issue and nobody really cares about it. Meanwhile, Twitter pushes fact check claiming there's no evidence of mass formation psychosis. Yes, the fact checkers have spoken. Of course, this was after Dr. Robert Malone's appearance on Joe Rogan, in which he said that the response to coronavirus, especially from the population, this manic zeal, this feverish relish for lockdown restrictions, for mask mandates and so on, for a leader to push them in that direction, for it not to be questioned, all the clear signs of mass formation psychosis. But Reuters, on whose board sits a Pfizer board member, by the way, says there's just no evidence of it. I mean, it's not as if the UK government literally admitted to using, quote, totalitarian tactics of behavioral psychology and mind control to push the population into supporting the first lockdown, when their own actuaries, their own studies beforehand, suggested that without that mass propaganda campaign, it wouldn't have worked. It's not as if they literally admitted that in their own documents, and people have written books about it months and months ago, is it? Oh yeah, it is. But they didn't include that on the fact check. And in fact, one of the experts quoted in the fact check admitted that governments do, quote, use nudge, encourage and cajole and motivate people to do the right thing, otherwise known as social re-engineering, otherwise known as propaganda. So the very guy they cite in issuing this fact check disproves the fact check itself. Incredible. We'll be back. Summit.news. Don't go away. So, of course, they ban Dr. Robert Malone at the back end of last year off of Twitter. He then goes on the Joe Rogan show, which has, what, an audience six times the size of CNN, talks about mass formation psychology, this idea that the population's hypnotized, brainwashed to slavishly not only comply with, but lobby for their own imprisonment. And then we get the leaders that dutifully follow through on that. They banned Dr. Robert Malone, so he can't respond to it. Then they trot out their fact checkers, the same people who said that the Wuhan lab leak was a conspiracy theory, even as Dr. Anthony Fauci was trying to cover it up for his friends. They trot out the same people to say that mass formation psychosis is just another conspiracy theory. We fact checked it. It's not happening. Now, they cited an individual, Jay Van Bavel, who in his work admitted that governments do indeed use behavioral psychological brainwashing to nudge people into compliance, into mass subservience, which is what happened in the UK and which is what these government bureaucrats had to admit to, was later part of Laura Dodsworth's book called A State of Fear. She got the documents proving that they, quote, used totalitarian tactics of psychological brainwashing and mind control to socially re-engineer the British public into acquiescing to, into submitting, caving in to lockdown restrictions, which they otherwise would have never have done. And what was one of the main methods of ramming that through? Over-exaggerating the threat posed by COVID-19, which is why we saw those polls that I talked about again in the earlier segment, where, for example, in America, the average American in summer 2020, when 155,000 people had died of coronavirus in America, thought the actual number was 30 million because the threat of the virus had been grossly over-exaggerated by governments as part of this mass formation psychosis method of control, of ensuring that people complied and submitted on a giant scale. So again, for the fact checkers, who at this point are basically no more than, Winston working in the Ministry of Information in 1984. They literally use the guy who admits that they use mass formation psychosis and behavioral psychological mind control and manipulation as part of the fact check to say it doesn't exist. Incredible. Many Twitter users, this is reclaimthenet.org, by the way, Twitter fact check mass formation psychosis. Many users highlighted the irony of quoting an expert who supports the use of behavioral nudges to manipulate people's behavior in a fact check that claims there's no evidence of mass formation psychosis, a theory that suggests people can be hypnotized and led anywhere. Jack Posobiec tweeted, "It's just psychological behavior nudging, totally different." Translation, the same experts' media who are credibly accused of creating, enabling the mass formation psychosis would like to assure us that no such reality exists. That was John Ziegler of Mediaite Senior Columnist. And exactly, these are the same fact checkers who said the Wuhan lab leak was a dangerous racist conspiracy theory, even as Dr. Fauci was covering up the very real probability that coronavirus came as a result of the leak from the Wuhan lab. But again, mass formation psychosis, government psychologically manipulating their own populations, doesn't exist, isn't happening. Oh, and by the way, the Financial Times reports, PSYOPs are a crucial weapon in the war against disinformation. They talk about Sweden using psychological operations in the context of coronavirus to convince their own population of the official narrative behind coronavirus, which, of course, at the start of the pandemic, was that it was this gigantic threat. A piece of propaganda which they now admit was over-exaggerated because they were desperate for people to comply. So they, on the one hand, they said they fact-checked it and said it doesn't exist, and yet today the FT is literally reporting Swedish government using PSYOPs against their own population in the context of coronavirus. Oh, and by the way, all the questions about the Wuhan lab leak, about the vaccine side effects, about COVID passports, all that information, all that dissent is being sown by the Russians. Yes, they've dragged back from the dead that zombie conspiracy theory of the Russian government being behind everything that undermines the official narrative behind coronavirus. Of course, citing a conspiracy theory that doesn't exist to justify extinguishing information that they deem to be a conspiracy theory, when the actual conspiracy theory is this idea that the Kremlin is behind everything, when it clearly isn't. I don't think the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin is responsible for all those footballers mysteriously and suddenly collapsing, some of them dying in the middle of football pitches, is it? Is that some kind of deep fake technology that the Kremlin has created to make us think that all these footballers are just mysteriously suddenly collapsing at the height of peak physical condition? Or is it actually happening? But again, they say it's a fact check. They say that this never happened. Governments never brainwashed their populations. And yet we know for a fact that they did, to over-exaggerate the virus to make them comply. And on that subject, headline out of summit.news, Professor, COVID survival rate for under 20s is 99.9987%. Now, bear in mind, this was before the vaccines were rolled out. So this is unvaccinated people who catch COVID. This is their infection fatality rate. Under the age of 20, 99.9987%. Bear in mind that governments across the West are desperately lobbying, and in many countries making it mandatory, if you want to get a job, if you want to go to a bar, if you want to see a movie in a cinema, even if you want to go to a shopping mall in some countries, making it mandatory to get a vaccine in New York for children, but in all these other countries for young people as well, when their chance of dying from COVID, or their survival rate if they catch COVID, is 99.9987% chance. Now, in my age group, 30 to 39, it's 0.021%. I'm going to take the risk of not dying if I catch COVID, which is, again, 0.21%, 0.021%. That's my risk of dying from COVID. I'm going to take that chance. I'm not going to get a vaccine, which has all these potential side effects. I'm going to take my chances. He's published this data, and he actually points to the infection fatality rate in older people as well. It says for those above 70, not in a care home, it was 2.9%, rising to 4.9% for all over 50s. This means that even for the elderly, more than 95% of people over the age of 70, again, this was before the vaccines, survive COVID. 97.1% when considering those not in a care home. Again, we talked about these numbers at the start of the pandemic, but now as this information increasingly becomes saturated in the media, where some of them are now trotting this kind of information out as a mea culpa, now suddenly it's acceptable to talk about it. We were talking about COVID survival rates in March, April 2020, making the point the lockdown will kill more people, it will devastate society way more than what they should have done, which was protect the vulnerable and leave the healthy people to go about their business. But even the most vulnerable, according to this professor, top epidemiologist John Ioannidis, this is a Stanford study, even over 70s not in care homes before the vaccine had a 97.1% chance of survival, even if they caught COVID. But again, because they wanted us all to comply, to agree with lockdown, not to question any of it, the propaganda, the mass formation psychosis, which Reuters says doesn't exist, was rolled out on the basis that COVID was this mass killer, that it had a 3 to 5% fatality rate from the beginning, even before the vaccination program. That was complete bunk. But why is it only acceptable to acknowledge that now, 18 months later, and all this damage later?
When I first got on air 28 years ago, if you talked about the New World Order, if you talked about George Soros, you would get set up by the FBI and sent to prison. I watched it happen to members of Congress, like Congressman Hansen and others. But because of their work, we now stand on their shoulders decades later, and most people know about the globalist agenda. Most people know about multinational corporations and the New World Order. And they understand that those big multinational corporations are backing the whole leftist establishment movement that seeks to destroy nation states and seeks to overthrow the remnants of Christendom and replace it with their soulless, anti-human, depopulation-based New World Order. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars took the globalists on because we knew their plan was evil and we knew we had a responsibility to fight back against it. And so now we're a major target, and now we are under political attack, cultural attack, economic attack, and most importantly, spiritual attack. And so that's why I want to remind you that this is a fight between good and evil, and remind you the power you have in prayer, and ask you for myself, my family, and the InfoWars crew to pray for InfoWars, for our provision, for our protection, and that God lead, God, and direct us now more than ever. When you come to God with that prayer, God hears and God answers. So again, thank you for your prayers as Christmas 2021 is now past, and as we go into the year 2022, and give yourself and your family the gift of knowledge and information by keeping us on air while also getting great products that are wonderful for your body. And we have two of our best sellers that have been sold out for a long time back in stock, X2 Deep Earth Crystal Iodine, the good halogen, the opposite of iodine. It's all there, 50% off InfoWarsStore.com, now back in stock, and Winter Sun, the highest quality vitamin D3 for your immune system, the number one thing you need for your immune system, now back in stock, 50% off.